Welcome to the Care What You Wear podcast. I'm your host, Jermaine Caprio, and in this episode, I speak with Lindsay Christine, founder of The Wellness Feed and a former tabloid writer. We discuss her pivot from reporting about celebrities to writing articles that empower us as consumers. Her site is filled with ways to live more sustainably, and it's a beautiful showcase of brands that are doing what they can to minimize their impact on the planet. Join me to hear why now, more than ever, it is so important to support companies who are operating responsibly. I hope you enjoy this episode. Lindsay, welcome to the Care What You Wear podcast. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I am super excited to learn more about what you're doing with the Wellness Feed. I love your entire site. Everything about it is just beautifully done and really impressive. And I wanted to get an idea of what you did before you launched the Wellness Feed.
First, thank you for the warm compliments. It always feels so good when people like the site. Honestly, what I was doing before was I was a writer. I wrote for mostly tabloid publications. So all those stories that you read about Kim Kardashian, Ariana Grande, yeah, I wrote about those. And they were it's like, you know, she steps out in a white dress and you're like, Kim Kardashian stepped out in a flashy dress with, you know, you have to make it interesting.
I love that you came from that. I love that.
Yeah, every day. And it's funny, I would always introduce myself to people. I'm like, what do you do? I'm like, well, I write about Kim Kardashian.
That's
awesome.
I did that
for years. Yeah. And before that, it was still a lot of like lifestyle content. So those articles that you would find like Bustle that would round up the best eyeliners. I also wrote for the Daily Mail, how to find that, you know, dress Kim Kardashian was wearing.
Right.
So yeah, pretty much doing a lot of the same style that is on the Wellness Feed, but just different content. Now I love to write about sustainability and nonprofits and how we can make a difference in the world, but still having it to be fun and approachable in that way that I think that celebrity content feels like it can be.
Oh, you just threw me for a loop. I'm just so floored because you look at your website and I would think you came from like eco friendly something, you know, like it's so funny because you have such an expansive assortment of articles on your site that just cover everything. I do believe that like great journalism keeps its hand on the pulse of what's happening. And you obviously had to do that when you were covering Kim Kardashian. You had to stay up with, you know, the latest and the greatest and the trends. So how do you apply that ability to what you're doing now with the Wellness Feed?
Oh, good question. I think that ability, that skill set is really all about listening. Listening to what people are saying, listening to what is going on. I really love forums and I love to connect with people there and ask them directly, do surveys, how to be more eco-friendly in their bathroom. Or some people have questioned, you know, they sent emails and they want to know more about like living a vegan lifestyle and how that contributes to less CO2 emissions or how you can be eco-friendly by limiting plastic in your everyday life. That skill set of listening, that really helps me develop content on the website that I think that people want to know and find useful and interesting.
So how do you vet the brands that you do cover on your website?
Oh, I love this question. I love it because I like to ask brands questions. So if a brand will come up, you know, they will email. And sometimes they're really great. Well, they will have all the information where they're not just saying, oh, I'm an eco-friendly brand, but they're saying, I'm an eco-friendly brand that is part of 1%. We don't use plastic packaging. You know, we work with regenerated materials. And if they don't provide that information, I ask those questions. I ask the same questions that I ask myself when I'm making a buying decision or when I'm putting together an article. So that's my first thing is to ask them the questions for them to show me that evidence that they are sustainable, that they are eco-friendly.
Right.
And then, you know, if it's a brand that I think is really great or they're doing something innovative, I would love to get an interview so that I can find out more. Sometimes if they have a lot of information on their website, I like to put those in the shopping roundups because I think it's easier for, you know, the readers to find a great piece that might fit in this, that is from this designer, and they have all that information on the website. So my biggest way I would say to vet them is to really ask the questions, look for the evidence, see how they're saving water, see how they're reducing their plastic waste. But at the same time, I don't look for the perfect brand. I really look for honesty. Mm-hmm. And transparency, the most important things for me.
Absolutely. Well, I guess you and I have to have a conversation about Majama's Earth after this. You know, I that's how I found you, was you came up through, I want to say, Reddit. I saw one of your articles on Reddit, and I was like, wow, they're talking about organic underwear. Why isn't Majama's Earth on there? I mean, we've been doing it for 20 some years. But anyway, that's another conversation. Getting back to plastic. So with the brands that you do have on your site, I have the same philosophy about plastic. To me, it's just the most horrific material that was ever invented. And I know it has its positives. I think for the medical industry, it could be positive if it were recycled correctly. And I think that in some cases, it's kind of a good evil, but I don't think we need the single-use plastic that we go through on a daily basis. So,
oh man, single-use plastics. It's so weird because I feel like I'm still having so many of these aha moments where I'm thinking, why do we do this? One example is like single-use plastic bags that we would get from the grocery store. I grew up in a household where we take those bags and recycle them. I'm putting that with quotation marks around it.
Yeah.
And use them as like bin liners. So in all of the rooms, we would have the plastic bags where we put the trash. I was just thinking, you know, I'm in my kitchen. I'm taking these like scraps from like food that are biodegradable. I'm putting them in something that takes about 200 years to degrade and emits methane and other greenhouse gases as it's sitting in landfills. And that kind of sums up my hate. I think that they can, it's a useful material, but the way we use it is wrong and causing more harm than good.
Right.
And there are so many instances like that. Like I think of my shampoo bottles. I'm switching over to a lot of products that are like zero waste packaging, as they say. So, you know, you don't like solid shampoos, solid bath soaps.
Right.
Just things that allow me to reduce my plastic use, because it's insane how much we use in our everyday lives and just throw out so quickly.
Right. Well, you look in your kitchen alone, I mean, or in your bathroom. I think the bathroom is the worst room. I know previous to my awakening about plastic, the bathroom for me was the worst because everything came in plastic that I bought, from deodorant to like body wash. And about 4 years ago, I started thinking, what the heck am I doing? This is just going to a vast wasteland. It's just sitting on docks waiting to be recycled, and it's trash. It's basically just trash. So did you have that awakening too? Like, did you look at it like that?
I think it's just been like slowly, like little things like this here and there, but definitely when those stories came out that, you know, China, another country, was not taking our trash, it definitely made me think about how much waste I'm creating in my everyday life. And like packaging, and when I receive packages, I'm constantly like writing brands saying, hey, I really love you, but could you use a little less packaging or plastic next time? Because it's insane. And I think, you know, if every person, they're all the people in the U.S., if we're creating the same amount of trash yearly that just doesn't degrade, where would our planet be in several years?
Oh, yeah. It's overwhelming to think about. And now it kind of makes you understand how we got in the mess we're in, you know, climate-wise because of that. Yeah. And I keep thinking, can we just, like, I've been writing corporations and asking them, why aren't you using a cornstarch type of plastic? Like, have you ever heard of Athique? Athique does hair and body bars, beautiful. And they have no plastic in their packaging. And they even make like a container that feels like plastic that you can store your soaps in. And then it only lasts for 5 years. And I've had one my daughter gave me, I want to say 2 years ago for Christmas, with a couple bars. The bars are gone. I've used them. I've gone through them. I keep reordering. But the little stand is now getting a little softer. And I love that. I mean, I just love that they're even their container that they, you know, you can take around you, and I can dry it off. I'm a swimmer, and I can bring it with me to the pool to shower if I want to. It's great for that, but it is kind of slowly disappearing because it's made from like this crazy, I'm not really sure what it's made from. I shouldn't say, but whatever it's made from, it slowly degrades, really slowly.
That's awesome. I think a lot of those products, it's like they're made from corn or they're made from sugar, which we have plenty of. And I wonder, like what you said earlier, why don't they use that? Why are these companies still going towards like fossil fuels and plastic?
Well, and I think it's because of price, and it's expensive, and they want to save as much money as they can, right? I still think the big cost doesn't come in the product then. It comes to our planet if we don't pay for it. So we should all like just buck up and pay.
We should all buck up and pay. I mean, we are paying for it. Like I was doing research about how much our taxpayer dollars go towards, you know, incinerating plastics or disposing of them. And that's, you know, what we clog up because of the excess waste. You know, us as taxpayers are still paying for that just in a different way. We're just eating those costs. You know, we don't see it.
Yeah.
But we're still eating those costs.
Well, and it's taking such a toll on our planet and on our health. I mean, I think it's the health that we're paying it with, you know?
Yeah.
You mentioned to me that you might have a personal story to share.
I think, you know, you just mentioned health, and I kind of want to go all the way back to where my sustainable journey began. And it began as a mother. It began thinking about health and thinking about the chemicals and plastics that are kind of everywhere in our everyday lives. I think when you're a new mom, you begin looking at the products. And one of the products that I would always see were teething rings. And teething rings was something you're told to kind of get for your child, and especially those pacifiers, but they're all plastic.
Right.
And I remember looking at like baby bottles, and I had a lovely midwife who just kind of went through different materials with me and different options. And she clued me into BPA free for the, you know, the nipple part of the bottles. But when I was looking for pacifiers, I realized they weren't there. I could not find a BPA free. And this was maybe 10 years ago.
Wow.
And I thought that was so odd. I was like, okay, we're doing better in this one area, but not in this other area. And that really just clued me into the fact that sometimes as consumers, we have to stop and be conscious and ask questions and educate ourselves, because those questions aren't always being asked for us.
Right.
And that kind of put me on this roller coaster where I thought about, you know, the plastics that are in, you know, the toys that my daughter would play with. And just not using those. And then there's like all those little plastic bags that you would have for, you know, like just throwing everyday things out.
Right.
Like, I don't know what you get, like a bag of like plastic bags to like put little like trash in when we're just walking around. I say that's kind of my story. It's just kind of being aware that of the fact that there are chemicals in these items as well, and how it is affecting our health.
Yeah. And it's everywhere. And it's, you know, I when we started Majamas, we used to bag every item in plastic bags because we had to do that. We, you know, in order to keep it stored. And about 5 years ago, I was like, enough is enough. I don't care if we get one or two garments damaged in shipping. I just said, okay, put it all in one large bag. And we're talking about thousands of garments. Find one box and put everything in there instead of these individual bags, because what's the point of making something out of an organic cotton if it's going to be put in a plastic bag? Like I just, people don't think about that. Like what's the what's great about buying like GMO free milk if you're getting it in a plastic bottle?
Yeah,
it's really an awareness and an awakening, isn't it?
And once you know, you can't unknow. Someone said that to me the other day, and I think it's so true.
Right.
once you have like one, just one of these little facts in your head, then you're kind of already on this journey and a roller coaster ride of just trying to make better choices.
Yeah. So speaking of making choices, so let's go back to your site for a minute. Mm-hmm. So when you are discussing, you know, certain brands or working with certain brands, how do you keep the purity of your mission? Like, does anyone, do people pay to be put on, do vendors pay to be put on your site, or do you, are, is this entire site done for the good of all? Like, mm-hmm. Is it an act of your, out of your heart? Or, I mean, we can't all live on love.
No, we can't all live on love. I would say it's a mixture of both. Right now there's an affiliate, so I'm starting to put that at the top of some of those posts so that uh-huh. people know that if you do click on something, this is, it could be, some of those brands are affiliate brands and we do earn a commission. Some of them aren't. Right now I'm really kind of getting more into doing more sponsored posts. That's something that's new. Because prior to this, and then like different advertisements, and they're all really great brands that I admire. But prior to this, no, it was really just an act of passion and love. And I was mm-hmm. writing other content as well, off to the side to kind of, and getting grants and fueling that through pitch contests for my whole general idea for the wellness feed. So that's how I was living off of it. But, you know, there have been brands that have contacted me, some big names, I'll say. And I'm not going to work with brands that I feel aren't trying honestly to mm-hmm. Minimize their environmental impact and, you know, be sustainable. I think that's really what it is. And I think since it's so easy for greenwashing, I just posted right. something about Boohoo today, how they're kind of doing this new campaign. And, you know, it really just brings the question, like, are they being transparent or is this greenwashing? And right. I would rather build a brand slowly and build it honestly and build it transparently than to have it like muddied in a way. Like, that's the best way I can say, muddied by brands that's not being honest and pure. Like, you're not going to see a Coke ad on there. And that's because, you know, I started this as a place because I was looking for these questions. I was looking for the answer to these questions and looking for brands like this. Mm-hmm. So that's keeping that integrity. I think it's just being patient and building a brand slowly.
Oh, and it's so hard though, because, you know, if a big corporation that makes athletic wear and, you know, is a B Corp or whatever and comes to you and they want to give you a boatload of money, but you still don't believe in them, that's really hard. That's, I mean, I don't think people realize that if it's your living, you know, you've got to make a living. You just can't, you know, live on popularity. It's got to be.
You have to have like just different outlets and different ways that you can earn. I mean, I think that's a whole other topic, but I'll say there have been moments where brands have kind of contacted me and it's like, oh yes, really great. And then I do a bit of my research. I'm like, oh no. Yeah. But I also look at things with a subjective mind. Mm-hmm. I don't wear every brand that I recommend, but I do think, you know, every brand I would say I would vet. And I think that they're doing something positive with their product. Right. And so that's what I look for more than, oh, it's not my style, or it's, I don't really like aesthetically, it's not me. Because I don't want the website to just be me. I want it to be, people from all different backgrounds, people who have different tastes than I do, to be able to find something, even if it's one product, or just take away like a few tips about how to live more sustainably.
So that's a good turning point to get more into your site. So you talk about like, and I always tell buyers this, just because you don't like something doesn't mean other people won't like it.
Yeah.
So to get that perfect mix of, you know, making sure you keep your integrity and then making sure that you stay on topic and then making sure that, you know, what you're writing about pertains to your mission. There's so many elements that go into your site. So my question is, how do you keep people engaged and how do you keep people motivated to keep coming back and stay sustainable and follow you?
I kind of do it, or I try to, is that I want to keep this conversation about sustainability, at least on the wellness feed, the positive side.
Yeah.
So every article, you know, I see, I did one that was kind of, you know, when alarm this week that we're in like a red alert or stage red as far as climate change goes. But, you know, I did highlight that. But at the end of the article, I put in call to action and, you know, ask Congress to do, the, you know, sign this bill to put pressure on these corporations and companies to have cleaner energy. And that's kind of what I do because it can be daunting. It can be, I don't want people to walk away feeling hopeless. I want people to walk away feeling that there's one little thing they can do.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to interrupt you. You're right. I mean, it's true because I'm from the philosophy that if we all did our part collectively, we don't have to sit around feeling helpless. Collectively, we can make a change.
Yes.
And that's the thing. But you're right. It's really easy to go down that dark path of doom and gloom, which, you know, when you're, when you're investigating it and you're looking into it, it's kind of dark. And I know when I write about it, I find myself thinking, okay, Jermaine, get a little lighter here. Like, stay a little
more. Oh, yeah. I've had those moments.
Like, why is anyone going to read this? It's so horribly, depressing.
Yeah.
So you got to find a positive. I think you have a great eye for the visual. So you lay it all out where it's really enticing to dig deep into your site and look at all your articles because your photography and your visual is beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That is not me. That is most of them are images from the brands, honestly. So thank you. Yeah, but I do want it to be beautiful when people come because I kind of, every image or most images I'll say that I choose, I always try to have a little bit of organic matter in there because I want people to kind of feel that nature is wonderful and beautiful and we're really protecting it. I want them to understand why, even if it's just through visuals, why, you know, making the choice to purchase a bathing suit made from recycled materials is like protecting our oceans. And I want them to feel that connection. Mm-hmm. And to feel that these products are beautiful and wonderful. And also because I think the idea of sustainable, at least maybe 10 years ago, was very crunchy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it was this idea that you were wearing like one cotton dress or hemp dress and you're like chucking wood in the back.
Yeah.
Okay. And I remember I would say certain things and people were like, oh my gosh, you're so crunchy. And I didn't know what it was at the time. And now I think that there are so many great brands and the word is becoming a little bit more mainstream. And you realize you can still have your lifestyle, but maybe make a few choices here and there that are sustainable.
Oh, you sound like me. I mean, honestly, we used to say, I mean, we've been around a really long time. And when I really, really got uber focused and switched to dead stock fabrics and recycled polys and all that, my goal was to never look vanilla, you know, just look like plain vanilla ice cream, like because so many, and I still see them out there. I still see organic brands or eco-friendly brands that just look drab and kind of like you're wearing a burlap sack, you know?
I was just going to say, I did a survey and I asked people why they don't. I asked like 100 or some people why they don't buy sustainable brands.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one answer I did the survey like 2 or 3 times, was that they think the clothes are ugly.
Oh.
And they all look the same. Yeah.
Oh, they have to look at my pajamas.
At pajamas. And I wanted to say, like, a lot has changed since, you know, 2000, you know?
So what can we do to encourage change? What do you recommend we do so we have a voice, so we feel like we're heard when we're talking about climate change, especially after the IPCC's findings with, you know, the code red finding with the climate change? What do you recommend we do?
You know, I think the first thing that I recommend anyone do is to kind of pick one area that they're really passionate about. Whether that is water, whether that is recycling, whether that is the, you know, if you live close to a factory that is polluting your backyard, I say find that one area that you're passionate about and write to your politicians about them. Write to your local council members. I actually have a meeting coming up with my local council member about plastic pollution, because I'm not just writing about this. I'm very passionate and trying to make my own change the way that I can. Mm-hmm. And I say, write to your politicians, your policymakers. The second thing I can do is, you know, talk to your community about it, mm-hmm. your friends, your family. I think that now people are a lot more open and receptive. And when I told people that I was starting a petition to bring in refill stations in my city, I made a lot of connections, and I just was able to meet a lot of people who were willing to help. And that was right. all through opening up and figuring that out. With other people helped me along the way. So I would say the first thing is find one area that you're passionate about. We can't do everything. And that really helps you narrow down your focus. The second is to write your policymakers. The third is, I would say, write those brands. You know, write Coca-Cola. Why aren't they using bioplastics that are made from corn? Right. And, you know, or why aren't they using glass anymore? You know, if that's a brand that you do actually buy from, you support, write them and let them know that you're a customer. You want them to be more sustainable. When you were talking about wrapping items in plastic, I received this I like to get, you know, my panties from this one particular brand, and they send it in compostable mailers, mm-hmm. but each piece that you get is in a plastic bag.
Oh, we don't do that. Now you need my panties.
Now I need your panties.
Yes. You need mine.
I was so disheartened to see it as a compostable mailer. Yes, sweet. What?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
So I wrote them, and I had to tell them. I'm like, I love you. I'm your customer. But can we talk about the plastic?
But why?
And I think, and I think just having one area that you can kind of hone in on focus is great. And I would say another thing that people don't always do is support sustainable brands. I think it's so important to support the brands that are doing good. Their prices might be higher, but, you know, there's a lot that goes into making a sustainable brand. You know, Jermaine.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Asking those questions about sustainable materials, asking those questions, you know, finding, you know, sustainable packaging, all of that takes extra time, extra money, extra work, extra vetting. So I would say, you know, support those brands.
Yeah. Thank you. That's a great message, because it's true. And I always get this, well, your bras are kind of expensive. And I'm like, wait a minute. My bras are actually really reasonable. I mean, there's bras out there that cost twice as much as ours, and, you know, they aren't sustainable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our goal is always to keep the price as low as possible, but you do have to make a living. I mean, mm-hmm. again, we're not in it for love. Well, we are, love of the planet, but you know what I'm saying? It's not, you know, it's you can't live on it if you can't make money from it. But and another thing that I found recently, I think if you start with something, just as you said, and kind of build on your sustainability mission, so you can mm-hmm. add, like, maybe not buying your shampoo in a bottle anymore, or not buying anyone that does ship in plastic, mm-hmm. or even starting to, like, hold rallies for, like, Greenpeace. I know that they're sending out emails asking people to volunteer to be a lead to, like, host a rally, which in a way I've never wanted to do until just recently. Like, now I'm kind of like, yeah, maybe I should do that.
Do it.
Maybe I'll meet Jane Fonda, you know, like, I think, you know, she does it. It's been so much fun speaking with you, Lindsay. Tell everyone how we can find you.
Oh, so you can find me. I'm thewellnessfeed.com. You can also find me on my personal Instagram, which I'm starting up again a little bit more, where I'm going to share my journey to go plastic free and to be more zero waste, at Lindsay_Christine, and find me at the_wellnessfeed. They're both the Instagram handles. And, you know, I love questions. I love people sharing their stories as well. So feel free to reach out, DM, email. I'd love to hear from you.
Oh, Lindsay, thank you so very much for speaking with me on our podcast. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
We We hope this podcast has made you more conscious about how you're impacting the planet and that you'll visit our website, majamas.com. There you'll find our sustainable collections and links to our blog, wearemajamaseearth.com, where you can learn more about our guests and our passion for the planet. Help us out. Follow us on Instagram and Pinterest at majamas_earth and on Facebook at majamaseearth. Care what you wear. And remember, collectively, we have the power to save the planet.